to previous shows if you're interested by going to our sponsor's site, which is myvillagegreen.com. And I have a reminder from the Village Green. On Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of this week, if you're in the store and mention this show, you get two bottles of Bone Guardian for the price of one. That's two for the price of one. So our lines are still, open, 301-984-2173. So let's start talking health, lifestyle, and nutrition. What we're going to try to cover today is kids and picky eaters, breast cancer prevention with Brian Blackburn, the human diet, what is it, and preventing colds and flus, and always we try to end up with some green tips from the Village Green. Now, what about the issue of kids and picky appetites? It is a common problem in this country and uncommon in a lot of areas in the world. And what's the difference is many areas don't have the junk food that we have. If you look at some of the European countries, South America, they just do not have the junk food. And so there's a big difference in how American children experience the diet and what results they have from the diet. Unlike American children two generations ago, today's children have very picky appetites. They crave carbos, starches, sweets, pasta, cookies, sodas. They hate and will even gag at vegetables. They also have a lot of sensory problems regarding food textures. And they eat what is called the white diet. And any mother of toddlers knows what we're talking about. They eat macaroni and cheese. They eat French fries. They eat nuggets, pasta with butter. And many of them won't even eat the spaghetti sauce on the pasta. Sugar cereals with milk. And they love the breads, chips, crackers, cookies. Maybe some fruits, they prefer juices, and they get sodas. And I'm going to just say here, my opinion on sodas for children is if you wouldn't serve your child a beer or a martini, you shouldn't be serving them sodas. And I say it teasing, but I also mean it. Sodas are high in phosphorus. They're electrolyte antagonists. They take nutrients away. And most American children are getting nutrients already taken away through the diet that they consume, and they're not getting nutrient-dense foods. So it does no good to add sodas to that. They drink water. They can drink water flavored with juice. There are lots of interesting ways you can make drinks. You can use natural sodas. Just using carbonated water with a little bit of juice in it is a natural soda. So I will repeat that from time to time. And if you have any questions, you can call us about it. But why are kids this way in America? And why is it so different from other parts of the world? And families in America who try to keep their cultural diets and avoid fast food and junk food tend to have children that will eat and choose to eat healthfully. Kids eat what you feed them. And I often say to mothers who say, I don't know what to do. My child only eats bologna and jelly. My child eats three foods, and they're 3 years old. I would like to meet a three-year-old with a driver's license, a credit card, and an independent income to go out and shop for themselves. It is the parents that they imitate, and it's the parents who are really charged with the responsibility. So what kids craved, as I said, are the processed foods, and all grains, once ground into flour, raise blood sugar extremely high. That results in an overproduction of insulin to drive the sugar down. And if the sugar comes down real fast, we get weak, headachy, irritable, so we have to eat real often. And this is why you see parents in malls shoving food in their kids' faces as soon as they start crying because they're having blood sugar control problems. Now, that glucose and the insulin stimulation depletes zinc. Zinc's part of the insulin molecule. So when we eat a lot of sugar-raising foods, then we end up depleting zinc. And why is zinc so important? Well, zinc is responsible for a whole lot of functions. Immunity, amino acid metabolism, which affects muscle function, skin health, getting rid of toxic metals, and brain and sensory development, including taste and taste perception. So the taste buds will function poorly and the taste center in the brain will function poorly. So food may taste foul. And vegetables, the dislike of vegetables is the hallmark of zinc deficiency in children. Because perception's really reality, and what they taste is something offensive. That's why they gag. The gagging is really a reasonable response to how they're experiencing the food, and you cannot bribe them, you cannot pay them, you cannot force them to eat a food that they've recognized as offensive, because perception's reality. It's not unlike what happens in chemotherapy. When patients deplete zinc as the result of specific chemotherapeutic agents, and their taste buds are no longer working well, and their taste centers aren't working well. Now, the low zinc can also result in immune deficiency and increased illnesses. What's important to note is that breast milk zinc is extremely well absorbed, and the same amount of zinc is then put in formulas, but the problem is it's poorly absorbed, especially if the formula is a soy formula. Soy phytates are antagonistic to zinc. So that's why we see the following pattern over and over again, and the pediatricians will attest to it to the point that it's almost considered normal. Child is healthy on breast milk, does well, formula is introduced. Within a few months, ear infections, respiratory infections, and one or more of the following start to occur. Allergies or intolerances to the milk-based or soy-based formula, which leads to skin rashes, eczema, which is titled infant eczema, and creams, sometimes steroid creams, are prescribed. GI symptoms can occur, and it can range from reflux to intestinal problems, and then antacids are prescribed, even for infants as young as a month old. Ear infections and or respiratory infections start increasing with more and more antibiotics being used. By now, the digestion is impaired and is impaired from the absorption of antacids and antibiotics. And what you get is more immune problems, more developmental problems, chronic allergies and asthma, and even failure to thrive. So what we try to do is avoid that and give our children the nutrition that they need. This does not have to be the norm in America. So take a look at what your child is eating and look at the amount, the number of sick visits the child has. It does not have to be typical to have 3 or 4 courses of antibiotics a year and multiple respiratory infections. I wanted to also mention that I've co-authored a book with Pam Compart on diets for autism. It's called The Kid-Friendly ADHD and Autism Cookbook, The Ultimate Guide to the Gluten-Free, Casein-Free Diet. And it is available from Amazon.com and from Village Green and the booksellers. I also wanted to announce the opening of the Rimlin Center for Integrative Medicine. And that's in Lynchburg, Virginia, and it's Saturday, November 3rd and Sunday, November 4th. Another conference coming up, November 16th and 17th, the Autism and Lyme Disease Connection. It's real important because Lyme disease affects development in children who are born with it or get it as infants. And this conference is only $30. You can find out about it by contacting davidandsam.org. That's davidandsam.org. Our lines are open. If you have any questions or comments, it's 301-984-2173. And I just want to remind you that the Village Green is giving 2 bottles of Bone Guardian for the price of 1 if you mention the show on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of this week. We'll be back after the break, and we'll be speaking with our guest, who is Brian Blackburn of Zymogen Products. We are going to be talking about prevention of breast cancer because it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Thank you, and we'll look forward to your calls, and I hope you look forward to hearing from Brian. We'll be back after the break.
Progressive Talk 1260.
Hello, welcome back to the Essentials of Healthy Living on Progressive Talk AM 1260. I'm Dana Lake, and we're glad to have you here for this segment. I'm going to be welcoming a speaker in just a moment. We will be interviewing Brian Blackburn, who is CEO and founder of Zymogen Products, and he's going to fill us in on some recent advances in breast cancer prevention since October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. I am going to give you a tip on breast cancer prevention. One alcoholic drink daily increases the risk for breast cancer 10%. Two or more drinks a day increases the risk 40%. So you might rethink how much alcohol you're drinking if you're a female, especially if you think it's good for your heart. It may be good for the heart, but it's not good for the breasts. So, is Brian on the line?
I am, Dana.
Hi. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Well,
it's good to have you here.
It's great. Thank you so much for the invitation.
And go ahead and fill us in on what's new with breast cancer.
Yeah, it's actually perfect timing. I've been in the field, as you know, Dana. For quite a number of years. And I personally think the timing of this is perfect because in my experience in over 25 years in this field, I think the biggest breakthrough in cancer prevention, breast cancer, and this compound also applies to colon cancer and skin cancer for that matter, may be the biggest breakthrough in at least 25 years I've been in this field. And coincidentally, the research was done right up the street from you guys at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, Maryland.
Well, good.
Yeah. And the breakthrough basically evolved from a Dr. Talalay from Johns Hopkins in researching found epidemiological evidence that in areas where cruciferous vegetables were consumed at very high levels, there's a significant reduction in cancer, in particular breast cancer and colon cancer. So Dr. Talalay and his team from Johns Hopkins set out to do, I think it's about 12 years of research to identify which cruciferous vegetable and what in that cruciferous vegetable might be contributing to the chemoprotective properties demonstrated by these foods. And after exhaustive research, it came down to broccoli and on top of that, broccoli has a number of different what we call glucosinolates or isothiocyanates. And so Dr. Talalay in his research said, well, it could be a combination of all of them, so we may want to concentrate all the isothiocyanates, or it may come down to a few or maybe even one. Turns out it's just one, and that one is a isothiocyanate called glucoraphanin, which is 68 times more potent in protecting against breast cancer than all the other isothiocyanates found in these foods. So Dr. Talalay considered that an extraordinary breakthrough. And the identification of this glucoraphanin, the means by which they extract the glucoraphanin, which is, by the way, from seeds. So while the broccoli itself is certainly a great food with an antioxidant protection against breast cancer, you'd have to consume quite a bit on a daily basis to get the levels of protection that are found in simply one capsule of a formula called Oncoplex.
And that's the formula that has the concentrate, what they call broccoli factor.
Correct. Formula is called Oncoplex. The exact isothiocyanate, which is concentrated at extraordinarily high level, like I say, it's equal to about a pound of whole broccoli you'd eat a day. That amount is one capsule, and that is called glucoraphanin, which is trademarked by Johns Hopkins and licensed to Zymogen as sulforaphane.
So that's the Oncoplex product that you've had such success with.
Exactly.
And just to point out to listeners that cruciferous vegetables include broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower. It's a whole group of vegetables that have actually a lot of other health benefits, but the breast cancer protection is the one we're focusing on at this point.
Correct.
And are there many studies? I know Hopkins did the work on it, and it's their patent. Have they done a lot of studies currently?
Yeah, there is. Literally, Dana, it's really interesting. We have a research arm here at Zymogen, and literally it's approximately one study per day. So in the average week, there are seven studies published on this Oncoplex, the basis of Oncoplex, which is sulforaphane. Extraordinary. So right now, they're up to about 270 Medline searchable studies on the chemoprotective effects of the sulforaphane, Oncoplex. And it's just extraordinary research.
And that's wonderful. If people wanted to get some of that research, is there a way of doing so online?
There is. Actually, we have a video at our website, which is accessible by the listeners. And they just go to Zymogen.com. That's with an X. M as in Mary, O, G as in George, E-N.com. Go to Zymogen.com, and you'll see the Oncoplex video. And in that video, it's about a 20-minute video in which Dr. Talley is interviewed about the background of the sulforaphane, which is in Oncoplex, and its beneficial properties as a chemoprotective agent.
Wonderful. Do you have any other tidbits regarding breast cancer protection?
Basically, what I'd say is obviously you have carcinogens you want to avoid, as you mentioned, Dana, and that obviously would be alcohol, but there's other carcinogens like pesticides, and what we call as a class, in particular as it relates to breast cancer, you want to avoid, these compounds are known as xenoestrogens.
Right.
Which means these xenoestrogens mimic estrogen in the body. And the way Oncoplex works is these are toxins, so the liver attempts to get rid of them. And when the way the liver works is the first phase of the liver, it creates a free radical. And it is that oxidized xenoestrogen, which is actually the carcinogen. Until that xenoestrogen is oxidized by phase one, it's not carcinogenic. Once that oxidation occurs, it's a free radical, and it's a carcinogen. And that's where Oncoplex comes into play. Oncoplex, in phase two of liver function, neutralizes the xenoestrogen for elimination mostly in the urine. So it's basically a very potent phase two hepatic antioxidant enzyme system that the Oncoplex is stimulating. And the reason I mention that, the beneficial health effects of the Oncoplex go far beyond just breast cancer. What the listeners will find is when they take Oncoplex, that improving phase two liver function reduces a number of different potential inflammatory type symptoms they may be experiencing.
Excellent. One way I help listeners understand about phase one and phase two functions, mm-hmm. it's like a dual phase disposal that we have in our cells.
Right.
And some people have small disposals, and so they the ordinary exposure that everybody else gets might be too much for them. And
right.
just like a faulty disposal in your kitchen, if too much food is put down there, it doesn't get handled, it doesn't get broken up, and it can spew out and smell up the kitchen.
Correct.
And basically, in your cells, if you cannot handle toxins, metabolites, byproducts, and you can't push them through phase one and phase two efficiently, they recycle in the body instead of being eliminated well.
Correct.
So what you're saying to us is that the broccoli factor in Oncoplex helps with those functions, which are general for body health.
Exactly. I mean, in the concept of holistic health, which of course used to be a term more popular probably back in the 70s and 80s, but in holistic health, yeah, if you optimize or improve any organ system such as the liver, as does Oncoplex, assisting, upregulating phase two of hepatic function, has many, many health beneficial health properties, and those have been seen along with the reduction of breast cancer in populations that consume large amounts of cruciferous vegetables.
Talk to us a little bit about your omega-3 product, because omega-3 fatty acids have been linked with all kinds of health protection, not just breast cancer. With prostate, it's good for the cardiovascular system and skin. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about your product and answer the question for us that many people ask as to their concern about having mercury and toxins in fish oils.
Certainly, and that is a very realistic concern. And the Zymogen Arctic Oils branded omega-3s are molecularly distilled, as are other high-end brands. The less expensive ones, many of them are not. The molecular distillation removes heavy metals and purifies the product. And we make available to all of our health practitioners and their patients third-party analysis demonstrating very, very pure fish oil. And we have the Arctic oils available in 300, 600, and 780 milligram concentrations per capsule.
Excellent. And you've got the cod liver oil.
And we've got the cod liver oil, which is certainly a beneficial source of not only omega-3s, but obviously vitamin A, vitamin D, and other factors, and certainly has an extraordinary history. I personally think cod liver oil probably... it is the forerunner of the omega-3s we know today, the concentrated omega-3s, and has a very long history of significant health benefits, going back to some of the earliest authors in the field of nutrition, back in the 50s and 40s. And that's called Cod Pure. And,
right.
That's been quite effective as well.
And I'd like to tell people, it's actually tasty. My children grew up with cod liver oil, and it's... not very tasty form, and they got used to it, but the forms today are much better tolerated.
Yeah, when I first got started, I was in the manufacturing industry, and they didn't have the levels of natural sweeteners that are available today. And in our Cod Pure, of course, we put a natural orange sweetener, which largely removes that fishy taste, which makes it very tolerable for both children and adults.
It sure does. Well, Brian, we thank you so much for what is a very in-depth and scientific explanation of something that's so important as one factor in breast cancer prevention. And we appreciate you being here. I understand that people can get you through Zymogen.com, which is Zymogen.com.
Right. Well, thank you for the opportunity, Dana.
Thank you.
Okay, take care.
Just a few tidbits to wind up on the breast cancer prevention, that risk factors include being exposed to both estrogen hormones, excess estrogen hormones in our body, or estrogen hormones in our body gone wrong, because we do metabolize and detoxify our own estrogens. Being overweight, obesity is a high risk for breast cancer, and having the apple shape, which is upper body fat. And a high total fat diet, especially deep fried fats. The Eskimos have a high fat diet, but that doesn't increase their breast cancer risk because their fat in the diet is largely omega-3. Trans fatty acids are certainly a problem. And trans fatty acids are now not in vogue, although they've been around for many, many years. They are co-carcinogens, and they increase cancer risks for all kinds of cancers, not just breast cancer. They also block essential fatty acids, and that includes omega-3 fatty acids. And one fact that a lot of people don't know about trans fatty acids, margarines, hydrogenated oils, is that they alter the fat cell itself and increase obesity. So for generations, the medical community and the government have been pushing trans fatty acids as healthier and safer, when in fact the opposite was actually true. A low-fiber diet is also a problem, low lignin, and getting nuts and seeds and real whole grains, not just ground into flour, but real cream of wheat, real oat bran, real oatmeal, brown rice, and high-calorie diets. When you overeat even good foods, it works against you, and you produce more of those harmful, bad free radicals. High-sugar diets are cancer-promoting. Tobacco use is, of course. Now, it's not just for lung, but it's for many kinds of cancers, including breast cancer, and I mentioned the alcohol before, and stress. There are differences among people, and some individuals are using soy as protection, and some individuals are avoiding soy. So this is Dana Lake, and we are going to be back after the break, and you're listening to Essentials of Healthy Living on Progressive Talk Radio, AM 1260.
Progressive Talk 1260.
Welcome back to the Essentials of Healthy Living on Progressive Talk, AM 1260. I'm Dana Lake, and we've got some other topics to cover. I thought we would talk a little bit about the human diet. If you have some questions, we're at 301-984-2173. Let's talk about the human diet over 2 million years, 2.5 million years. If we look at modern humans, they've been around since 200,000 years. And the diet for 99% of human history is really very different than the diet we have consumed now. Sometimes I get the question, when we take out certain foods that people have problems with, the natural question is, well, how can you take these foods out? Don't we have to eat them? And I want you to guess which types of foods cause these problems. Digestive problems from gas and indigestion to irritable bowel, reflux, and colitis. Skin conditions, rash, dermatitis, eczemas. Mood and behavior problems, and increased mucus, which can lead to upper and lower respiratory infections, increasing the risk for those. Well, the foods are milk products and glutens. Glutens are a family of grains that include wheat, oat, barley, rye, spelt, and kamut. Now, it's not that everyone has a problem with these foods, and these foods, prepared properly, can be well tolerated by the human body. But milk products are very different than what comes out of the cow. The homogenization really mutates that milk molecule so that we're getting something very different. And glutens are not easy to handle for a lot of people. Remember, there's just no one diet for every human being on Earth. There are different diets, but there is something similar about all human diets, and that is that we all require proteins, fats, and carbohydrates. We especially require essential fatty acids in the fats, and we can get our proteins from animal and vegetable sources. The animal sources are seafood, poultry, meat, eggs, and animal milk products, especially prepared properly. Plant source proteins are found primarily in legumes, which are beans, nuts, and seeds. And then we've got the carbohydrates, and they're found primarily in plant foods like vegetables, fruits, nuts, seeds, and grains, and the legumes or beans, and also in milk products. So we don't have to have glutens. We don't have to have milk products. They didn't come into the American diet or the human diet until about 10,000 years ago. Grains showed up about 10,000 years ago. The reason being is that humans didn't have the sophistication and the technology to handle grains and to cook and prepare beans, and they weren't domesticating animals. So these are late arrivals, and I know 10,000 years sounds like a long time, but when you compare it to 200,000 years, of modern human history and 2 million years of human history altogether, then you can see that they're new foods. And we can certainly replace these foods. Humans have consumed other than grains and dairy and legumes for a long time. I recommend the book by Sally Fallon, which is called Nourishing Traditions. And that book tells you how to prepare grains and milk products and legumes correctly and healthfully. That's Sally Fallon's book, Nourishing Traditions, also written with Mary Enig. Now, we have a caller, Karen, on the line. Karen, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I've got a question about the cruciferous vegetables.
Yes.
Do they have to be eaten raw, or can you steam them? Because I have trouble digesting them when they're raw, some of them.
Well, no, you can eat them steamed. You still get the nutrition. You'll lose vitamin C when you cook vegetables. And so we encourage people to eat both raw vegetables, steamed, cooked, pureed, juiced, really all kinds of ways.
Because I had read or heard somewhere that when you cook the vegetables, they lose their enzymes.
They lose their ripening enzymes. When you juice vegetables and fruits, the enzymes, the live enzymes, are retained. Some people handle those well, some don't.
It doesn't
mean that you have to eat them only one way.
Oh, good. Okay.
Okay, so you can include the foods in a variety of ways. And absolutely, as soon as you steam something, you are going to damage the enzymes.
I see. Okay.
So, and it does us no good to eat a food, Karen, that makes us feel poorly or that we don't
digest well. I know,
well.
That's true.
Thank you for your question.
Yes, thank you very much.
We're going to cover some more information on diets, and in each show, we'll cover information. I wanted to give you a few tidbits ahead of time. I have a lot of criticisms for the pyramids that have been used, and the problem pyramid that was dumped for the newer pyramid had as its basis refined grains. And if you looked at that pyramid, it promoted refined grains. You do not see whole grains in there. And the emphasis is not clear to people that when humans consume grains, they really are better off consuming them in their cooked whole grain state. Fermented, cooked, properly prepared. Again, Nourishing Traditions can help you with that. And at the top of the pyramid were sugars, meaning eat less of these, and all fats. And that's ludicrous when fats are essential for human life on Earth. So I tend to use a square meal where half the plate is vegetables and the other half is divided between all the protein sources, fish, poultry, meat, eggs, beans, nuts, and seeds, and milk products if tolerated. And part of that other half is occupied with starches and fruits, and we try to limit those. I would rather people eat a vegetable than a piece of bread, unless that piece of bread is loaded with fiber, at least 5 grams or more per slice, and it's hard to find breads that qualify. Your health food stores carry them. And we'll be talking more about eating the square meal way and trying to avoid some of the faults of the pyramid that really led us to the unheralded increase in obesity and diabetes in this culture, especially in those under 20. This is Dana Lake on AM 1260. We're going to take a break and be back with the final segment of the evening. Stay with us.
Progressive Talk 1260.
Hello, welcome back to Essentials of Healthy Living, sponsored by the Village Green in Bethesda. And you can contact that website on myvillagegreen.com. We are still taking calls. If you want to call in and you have some questions, it's 301-984-2173. I'm Dana Lake, your host for the evening. Wanted to give you a few more tidbits about problems with the pyramid. The old pyramid, we discussed the problems that it focused primarily on refined grains, and we already talked about the fact that grains have not been a major part of the human diet until more recently. In fact, it's 0.5% of human time on Earth has really been the time when grains and dairy and legumes have come in to being used. And different cultures have different diets. We can't take a Hawaiian baby and put them on an Eskimo diet. They're not going to do well because their ancestral diet, their genes are are tuned to handle the diet that their ancestors came from. For most of us, we can't figure that out, especially if there's a lot of mixtures. But for pure cultures, it's pretty easy to figure out what the best diet is. And that's the trick that we have as nutritionists and dietitians, is to figure out what is the best diet for each person. Now, the new pyramid is even more confusing, and it has six groups or six sections, and you have to access it online, and you have to press six levels on each of six areas to get which foods are in that area, how to eat them, how many to eat. It really, to me, is almost a public health nightmare because it's not easy to understand what it's trying to tell you or how your plate should look. It still has the refined grains as occupying a fairly large segment of the pyramid. It is less than the old pyramid because the old pyramid was so associated with such an increase in diabetes and obesity. It does include a good amount of vegetables and fruits and oils, and it has meats and beans in one segment, but a separate group for dairy. And when you have a food group, what you're saying is that's essential for human life. And dairy is a choice. It's a protein for those who tolerate it well and for those who consume organic dairy products that are properly prepared and handled. So what I've done is used a square meal. It's really a picnic plate. And the proteins occupy approximately half the plate. An easier way to figure it out is the size of your palm is a serving of protein. So each person's palm is a serving, and you need three palms a day. Now that includes all of the proteins, which are fish, poultry, meat, eggs, beans, nuts, seeds, and milk products as tolerated. If you don't tolerate certain proteins, you can fill that with another protein. So the square meal is particularly applicable to almost every diet on earth. It can work for vegetarianism. It can work for many different kinds of diets. It doesn't mandate a given food. It only mandates the three essential food groups that people need: protein, carbohydrate, and fats. We wanted to talk about flu and cold prevention. Our wonderful October will probably be giving way to a colder November. And there are 10 tips that the Village Green has put out in a flyer, and you can get that by calling the Village Green at 301-530-0800, or you can go online at myvillagegreen.com. So 10 tips, they're really common sense rules. Scrub, wash your hands for at least 30 seconds and wash them often. You don't need special hand sanitizers as much as just soap. And make sure that if you're touching public doorknobs and keyboards and phones, that you wash more frequently. Cover your mouth when you cough or sneeze. That's pretty standard. Most people know that. Children learn it very early. And use a tissue as much as you can so that you don't spread the germs, because they are spread by the air. Floss, and that's kind of an odd suggestion, because between our teeth are a lot of bacteria. In fact, it's over 300 species of bacteria. Now, some of them are good, but a lot of them are not good. And so flossing and brushing is very important. And your dentist and dental hygienist will certainly appreciate that advice. Eat right. Everybody hears that, but it really means cut down on sugar and eat more fruits and vegetables. Eat foods that are in their whole food state. The closer to nature, the better. An apple's better than apple juice, is better than apple cider, is better than an apple pie, and certainly apple drink is nothing but apple-flavored sugar water. So try to eat foods as whole foods. And keep your hands off your face. If you've got a cold or flu, or you shook hands with somebody that has the cold or flu, and if you're traveling or exposed to a lot of people, you can increase your resistance by using throat sprays and zinc lozenges. And most of those throat sprays have zinc in them. And Village Green Apothecary carries those products. Drink plenty of water to flush out toxins and keep you well hydrated, especially if you're doing plane travel. and work out. But work out to a level of comfort. It's okay to sweat. Sweating helps get rid of toxins, so we do want to sweat. And quit smoking if you're smoking. And don't be exposed to smokers if you're not smoking, because being exposed to smokers ends up giving you the nicotine, and it ends up in the urine. You can check the urine of people who live with smokers, and they will have the residue from nicotine exposure. And it's especially true of children. Children's systems they have fast metabolism, and so a child that lives in a smoking household is much more susceptible to accumulating the residues of nicotine in their system, and it shows up in the urine. Supplements. There are lots of immune supplements. Traditionally, vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin C are very important. The Village Green carries a product I love called Quercetin Plus, and it's their Pathways brand. Quercetin is a bioflavonoid, and it's associated with pycnogenol and rutin. And it's a very powerful anti-inflammatory, anti-infective. It's a wonderful supplement to use if you're trying to prevent illness or if you have illness and you're trying to get over it. It improves healing. And there's some other beneficial side effects. It is breast protective as far as cancer goes and prostate protective as far as cancer goes. So quercetin is a nice anti-inflammatory immune support formula. And the apothecary, Village Green Apothecary, carries this immune support formula, which has a whole variety of herbs, mushrooms, and nutrients that are immune supportive. And you can read about the Village Green's program called Essentials of Healthy Living, which we talk about on the show. And it's a way of individualizing your nutritional supplementation based on your age, your stage in life, based on conditions or symptoms that you have. They have professionals that will guide you, or you can do it yourself. There are cards for each age and stage and each kind of condition. And I think you'll find that wonderful. So go online at myvillagegreen.com. We always try to end with a few green tips, and I wanted to tell you about the Village Green green section. They have done a wonderful job of trying to reduce their own carbon footprint, and they invite you to join them. They partnered with Native Energy to help purchase green power. So for only $96 a year, you can replace 100% of your home's electricity with green energy. So go on myvillagegreen.com and click on Go Green and find out what you can do to help reduce your carbon footprint and to understand the many things. I'm going to give you a few hints today. You can buy and use high-quality air purifiers and water filters for your home and work to reduce your own toxic load and cut down on all plastic use. We talked about foreign estrogens being harmful to the breast. They're harmful to health in general. And plastics have estrogenic, foreign estrogens in them. And the soft plastics release those estrogen-like chemicals into the foods that are in the soft plastics. Avoid nonstick cookware, and if you have it and it's scratched, you really need to throw it out. And microwave without using plastic wrap or plastic containers. And try to switch to drinking only out of glass bottles. They're the safest that there are. Use only safe, non-toxic household cleaners, and your local health food store has a variety. You can even make your own with vinegar, baking soda, and water. And choose natural and non-toxic personal products as much as possible. The chemical-free shampoos and conditioners, the cosmetics, and deodorants. There are many available for everyone. So I hope you've enjoyed the show. We'll be here every Wednesday from 5 to 6 p.m., and it's called Essentials of Healthy Living. I'm Dana Lake. Our sponsor is the Village Green Apothecary. We hope you'll tune in every week for some interesting tidbits, some controversies, and for anything you have to add to our show. So this is Dana Lake and the Village Green Apothecary wishing each and every one of you good health and good night.
Progressive Talk 1260.